Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. Thank you for blessing us, Lord, with your presence here. We're honored and we reverence and we honor your presence, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for never leaving us and never forsaking us, Lord. Thank you for always being present, Lord. We're grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful people. That nothing can separate us, Lord, from your presence, from your love. And we are grateful, Lord, that your presence is what defines who we are. Not all the gimmicks and not all the fluff and all the things that different ones do. But Lord, it's the presence of God that defines your people. The glory of God. The anointing of God upon your people. So we're grateful, Father, that this is your dwelling place and we are your dwelling place as your vessels, as your temples. And that we are privileged that we can host the presence of God within these bodies, these human bodies, Lord, that you have sanctified and that you have consecrated and made holy so that the fullness of your presence and glory can dwell within vessels. Vessels that are imperfect yet are being perfected by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. Thank you for ushering the presence of God. Can you just sense the presence of God here tonight? Amen. You know, I remember what Brother Kenneth Hagin said, and I was listening to Pastor Nancy, and she mentioned it again, that, and what he mentioned was Jesus told him that in every service, that every church has, that we have to recognize that there's a plan for every service. Yeah, it's not just a service that we come to, and we go to, you know, the format, then we have church as usual, but it entails the plan of God, and it's and when we begin to understand that the plan of God has everything that we have need of to live our lives for today, but not only for today, but the plan has in it that will enable us and sustain us from where we are to where God's moving us into. And it's all entailed in the plan of God. And, you know, it would be wise for all of us. You know, it's kind of like a puzzle, right? You have every piece that is put together, and then when it's all put together, you see the full picture of what that plan is. It's kind of like that. You know, every service, a puzzle is added, right? And it's sad to say that many of our people are not here to be a part of that puzzle, to see that part. And it not be, and every service might not be pertinent to what you're, you know, it might be something that might not be pertinent to you, but it's still the plan of God. Regardless, right? And we know what the plan, the full plan of God is, right? It's the second coming of Christ, right? But every service has a plan that is moving us towards that, preparing us for that great event. Where this whole thing is done with, the plan of God is fulfilled, right? And the fullness of God's plan is revealed, the harvest, God's precious harvest of the earth is received and harvested. Jesus is coming back. But here's the part. We all have parts, our parts to do in this plan of seeing that come to fruition. Everything that we do has a purpose in allowing that to happen, even accelerating. It depends on what we're doing, on our part. So as the body of Christ, you know, we're connected here, but we're also connected to the head, right? Right? So there is always, there's not a separation. There's a connection to us with Christ, and everything that we do as his body progresses his coming even sooner. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, we live in exciting times and exciting days. You know, I was thinking about that song that you sang, Kalia. Very wonderful promise, you know, if any man be in Christ, right, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Your old life, aren't you glad your old life has passed away, right? And you can start anew, right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have come brand new. And when you look at that, you look at that scripture, right? How many of you are in Christ? You know that you know you're in Christ. That you are in a relationship, you are in a fellowship with him, right? So you're in. Everybody say, I'm in. Right? And when you look at that, you look at that promise that if anyone be in Christ, he or she becomes a new creation. That word creation is a species that never existed, right? Never existed before. And what is that creation? A son, a manifested son of God, right? And that word son doesn't deal with gender, right? A son is a child, right? An offspring. So it includes females in that. A manifested son of God that never existed before the first son of God, right? And how many of you know that moment that you received Christ, you came into Christ, right? And he came into you, right? You were joined together. How many of you know that's supernatural? There is nothing ordinary about you as a believer, as a Christian. You know, Brother Joel talked about superheroes, right? Marvel heroes. How many of you are superheroes? You're supernatural. There's nothing natural about your life. I just mentioned about your new birth. There's nothing natural about your new, everything is natural about your physical birth, because that's how a woman gives birth. That's how you were born, through a physical, natural birth, right? 9 months of being carried by your mom, and you know, you were given birth, and here we are. You know, we grew and we developed, but that's natural. But when it comes to your spiritual birth, there's nothing natural about it. Nothing natural about it. And you know, God wants every believer to understand that to live a life in the Spirit, right? Your new born-again person, we call that a rebirth, or we call that regeneration. That word regeneration means rebirth, right? Or to be born again. Right? When he had that whole conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Yeah. And when he told that, you know, he mentioned that to Nicodemus, who was a teacher of the word, he didn't know what it meant. And he said, you mean I got to go back in my mother's womb and be born again? No. That's silly. That which is born of the flesh is of flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. So Jesus was making a spiritual, right? He was talking about something spiritual. So as believers, you know, God wants us to live a life in the Spirit that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So everything about your life is supernatural. Amen. So why does God want us to live our lives in the Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit? How many of you know your spirit man is the true essence of who you are? Right? You are a spirit. And that's who you really are. See, I can't see your spirit, but that's the real you. Your born-again spirit, right? That has been recreated, made perfect. And your spirit is the one that communicates with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your spirit man communicates with the Holy Spirit. So why does God want every believer to live his life or her life in the Spirit that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, so that we can do supernatural exploits? Amen. In the name of Jesus, and that the Father may be glorified. Right? You know, Jesus says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Right? Not the fivefold ministry. Right? Not the pastors, right? But those that believe. Any believers here tonight? And that is what qualifies you for signs and wonders to follow you. Just to be a believing believer. You have to be a believing believer. You can't just be a believer. There's a lot of believers, but they don't believe that signs follow them. Whether it's through ignorance, whether they don't want to, maybe they don't understand it. But according to the word, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And then he goes on, in my name, right? He tells us what those signs are, right? And we know what signs are for, right? We see signs all over the place. We see signs that tell you stop. We see signs that give us directions to different places, such as, you know, when tourists come here, they follow the sign that says, this is the way to Kanapali, right? But signs are out there for a reason, right? It tells people what to do, where to go, what not to do. Amen. And as a believing believer, signs follow you, right, to validate, or we can say signs or the signature of God's approval on your life, right, that the message that you're declaring is from heaven, so that signs will follow you to validate or to signature that what you're saying is from God. You follow me? Yeah. And he tells us what those signs are. They shall cast out devils, right? They shall speak with new tongues. How many of you pray in tongues? That's a sign. They shall take up serpents, dealing with demons. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All you have to do to qualify is to be a believer. See, signs were never meant to, we were never meant to follow signs. Believers were never meant to follow signs. Oh, let's go here. Something's happening. Let's go there. No, people need to say, let's come here. Or let's follow you. I've witnessed signs to your life. You know, so-and-so prayed for my little baby and they had a fever and now it's gone. That's a sign. And what does that sign do? It validates you as a messenger from heaven. And maybe that's an opportunity for that individual to come to know Christ. So signs always points people to a direction or someplace, but it ultimately points to Him. So that's an avenue to where you can minister to that individual about God. Right? The signs are not to puff you up or elevate you, but the signs are to elevate Him who's working in and through you. Because we understand that we cannot do nothing apart from the Holy Ghost, and that's why God wants us to be empowered. Walk, live a life of the Spirit, right? And be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So that any time and place that something or a need is there or an opportunity, guess what? You're there. You're there. You don't have to get on the phone and say, oh, Pastor, or call Pastor. Or you don't have to wait and say, let's wait till Sunday. I'll bring you to church. No, you are the church. And God wants to flow through you. The Holy Spirit wants to flow through you, right? And use you at that moment for that individual or individuals to be a sign and to be a wonder for the glory of God. And that's why it's so important to learn. We're learning how to, flow with the Holy Spirit. We're learning the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is so important in our lives as believers. We're learning the diversity of who the Holy Spirit is to us. Amen. And it would be wise to each and every one of us, and I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd, right? The doers, the hearers and the doers, right? And I know you guys are learning to learn every aspect and diversity of who the Holy Spirit is and to utilize Him. Take Him at His word of who He is. Don't say, oh, yeah, okay, He's the helper. Okay, good, great. Use Him and say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Especially when you need help. Right? As we learned, He's not your doer. Right? He's not going to help you. He's not going to do all, he's going to help you in spiritual things. He's not going to help you move house, right? He's not going to help you babysit the natural things. He's going to help you when you're in a bind. One time I was driving home from Kapalua on a Friday, my mind is like, okay, it's weekend. It's Friday, it's weekend. I'm out of here. Right? And as I'm driving through, the Lahaina Luna Road, that last intersection, I hear the Holy Spirit say, go stop at so-and-so's house. And I heard it, and I dismissed it, because I was in a rush to get home. So, that Sunday when we came to church, went through church service, everything went through, and then, some of us were outside in the parking lot talking, and this individual, whom the Lord told me to stop at their house, just so happened we were talking, and I forgot about it, and as we were talking, he said, Friday, I was trying to call you, but I didn't have your phone number. And I said, really? He said, yeah. Me and my wife, we bought a piano. And there's only two of us. So when we brought it, the people were able to help us load it. But when we brought it home, it was just me and my wife. And we couldn't unload it. I couldn't unload it by myself. So I thought about you, and I was trying to find your phone number. I couldn't find your phone number. So thank God our neighbors came out and was able to help us. And I just say, oh, okay. That's why I heard that. Right? And Holy Spirit will talk to you in the most inconvenient times to do the most inconvenient things when you're busy. Yeah. I think a lot of us can relate to that, right? And that's why we need to really listen to that inward voice of the Holy Spirit, right? And that's pertaining to everything. Everything. He wants to help us in these areas, right? I mean, he's our counselor, right? A person who counsels. You know, when we're in the prison, you know, some of the men and women, they want counseling, right? They request counseling. I want to see a chaplain. I want to have counseling. You know, some of them, they have brothers. This one brother, his uncle and his brother passed away during the same week. So he requested counseling. So we go and we counsel him. Not with our own opinions, but with the Word of God. We counsel them with this, of what God says about your situation. Because there's nothing I can say with my own opinions. I can add some of my experiences to it, but it's based only upon what God has to say about your situation. Right? So we counsel people. But how much effective can you be when you allow the great counselor within you be a counselor through you? You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit wants to be your counselor to you, but he wants to counsel through you. Yeah, you come across an individual, they're having marriage problems, and all of a sudden, you don't know, but all of a sudden you start talking and things start flowing and you're going, oh, where is this going? Where is this coming from? Right? This spring of information and wisdom coming out of you. And hopefully you're quick to catch it, that it's the Holy Spirit using you as his mouthpiece to counsel somebody. Does that make sense? You know, I'm not following some of this, but I'm just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak, right? Because this is the Wednesday night crowd. Yeah. So these signs. So nothing about our lives is natural. Nothing. In fact, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, when you pray in the Spirit, right? The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. And what he's talking about, our weaknesses or our lack of, right, not knowing what to pray for specifically. But the Holy Spirit within us prays with us, right? He prays with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when you just, you know, anytime the Lord gives me a face, I see a face. Now I've learned when I see a face, just pray. You don't have to know all the details of what's going on. Just pray. And that's what I do now. When God gives me a face, can be anybody, I'll just pray in the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost knows exactly what that individual has need of. And he was kind enough to find somebody who was responding to him. He needed somebody to respond to pray for that someone. I mean, I don't want to be like, kind of like that story I shared about where this pastors or these missionaries came back from doing missionary work for 3 years. They usually come home to the United States and have a 3-week break. And when they went to church, the Lord spoke to them and said, give away your car. Bless this young couple with your car. So they did. They hear the voice of God. They know what the voice of God sounds like. So they're obedient. They turned the keys over and the paperwork to this couple. They bless them, believing that God going to bless them with a car for their own. Right? So they do it. And a month goes by, nothing. 2 months goes by, nothing. 3 months goes by, no car for them. And now they don't have a car. They're calling Uber, they're calling taxis to be able to do the errands and all their shopping or whatever. So finally, 4 months later, this guy comes along from their church and says, you know what, the Lord told me to give you guys a new car. So after 4 months, they get their new car. And they're grateful, they're happy, they praise God for it. But he asked the Lord a question. He says, how come, Lord, it took so long? And what the Holy Spirit said, that was the number 10th person I asked, and they responded. So Holy Spirit asked this one, they said no. He went to this one, they said no. He went to this one, he went to 9 different individuals and asked them to do it. And they didn't respond. And it took number 10 to say, I'll respond. I don't want to be number 10 when the Holy Spirit comes. When Holy Spirit comes and taps me, or there's an impression, or there's a leading, right? Within you, you guys know, right, what I'm talking about. There's just this impression within your heart to do something. There's a leading. There's this inward voice, this spiritual navigation that's telling you, it's not a voice, but it sounds like a voice within your spirit. I want to be in that place when Holy Spirit says, I need you. I need you to do this. I need you to pray. I need you to go over there. Kind of like Smith Wigglesworth. He wakes up in the morning, prepares his breakfast. Holy Spirit says, get dressed. I have an assignment for you. He gets dressed, jumps on his wagon, and goes to the spot where the Lord tells him to go. And he goes there and he sits. It was a bus stop. And that's all the Lord told him. Go over there and sit and wait. An hour passed, nothing. 2 hours passed, nothing. 3 hours passed, nothing. How many of you, after 3 hours or after 1 hour, you go, I wonder if I heard from God. I bind you, devil. Yeah. But you have to know that you heard from the Lord. And I believe all of you are mature and skillful, that you know the voice of the Lord. So he sat there. And after 5 hours, he sat there and nothing. Until a minute after five, a buggy comes by. A man gets off and sits right by him. And the Lord says, minister to him salvation. He shares Christ with him. The man receives Christ, gets filled with the Holy Ghost. His assignment is done. He goes home. That's it. 3 days later, he gets a letter or a call from this gentleman's wife and tells him how appreciative that she was of him sharing Christ with her husband, and that her husband had passed away for a couple of days after that. Isn't that amazing? And here's the thing, what is amazing, God can use each and every one of us in that capacity. And that's why we're having to learn to flow with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And God doesn't need perfect vessels. Amen. He doesn't need perfect vessels. He doesn't need intelligent vessels. He just needs willing vessels that are available and approachable and accessible. That's all. And I think all of us qualify. Yeah. Amen? So nothing about our lives as believers are natural. You know, praying in tongues, right? Praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, right? Makes you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Right? So it would be wise for us who are spirit beings to pray much in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So that we can know the mind of God. You know, we can know the mind of God, the God who created all heaven and earth, through the Holy Spirit, who is God Himself. Hallelujah. I mean, it kind of like tilts your brain, right? What I'm trying to say is there's nothing natural about us. Right? I mean, talk about having a red hotline to God, one of those phones, right? You ever watched Batman before? The old Batman, the old Adam West? He had that red phone straight to the commissioner. Right? Well, as a believer, you have a hotline to God. A hotline to the Father Himself. And that hotline is praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And I think we have to grab that. You know, some things are taught, but some things have to be caught in the Spirit. Because if we really catch it, yeah, we'll be doing more of it. That we're actually having a supernatural dialogue with Heavenly God, Heavenly Father. And that when we pray out, we pray in the Spirit. Right? When we pray and declare things, right? We can declare things from the Word itself. The Word of God says this, and we declare it. And that would be rightfully so to be an effective prayer person. Right? But how much more when we add the language of the Spirit, the dynamics of the Holy Spirit in our prayer life. Being led by the Holy Ghost. Being led by the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And allowing our prayer life to be Spirit-led. Right? How much more of an impact that will make. How much more of a devastation that we can do to the kingdom of darkness as believers. To where we understand that 1,000 can put, one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. I believe if we pray in tongues, we can multiply that, right? Amen? So there's power when we pray in the Spirit from our spirit man, praying with co-laboring, we are partners with the Holy Spirit. He partners with us. He helps us. While we're praying in the Spirit, He's helping us. Do you recognize as you're praying in tongues, He's there helping you? Because we don't understand what we're praying for or how to specifically pray for. You know, like, say, for example, the situation in Ukraine, right? If you invest some time in praying in the Spirit, Holy Spirit will give you exactly what to speak pertaining to Ukraine. Because the Spirit of God knows what they need. And you making yourself available, right, to be that vessel to be used by Him, to be able to voice and declare the perfect will of God to that situation. Some of you pray in tongues and you say things, you go, wow, that was the Spirit of God. There's no way I could have thought of that or prayed that out. Amen. So Paul says, when I pray in the Spirit, I pray with my understanding. When I sing in the Spirit, I sing with my understanding. So train yourself when you pray in the Spirit, stop and begin to interpret what you've been praying. Yeah. Because Holy Spirit will help you to interpret those tongues that you've been praying in the Spirit. And you will be surprised what comes out. But as you begin to pray much and begin to learn and to be able to recognize, see, we have to recognize, we have to have knowledge of what is taking place so that Holy Spirit can take full advantage and we can take full advantage of what is occurring supernaturally. Does that make sense? Because if we just pray in tongues, having no understanding of what's going on or what the word says, what we're doing, right? All we're doing is just praying in tongues. You guys follow me? But if we understand what's going on, Holy Spirit is using me. He's praying mysteries, divine secrets. I'm speaking to God. I might not know it in my natural mind because my natural mind is unfruitful. My natural mind has no understanding, but my spirit man is praying. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will allow me to interpret what I'm speaking. Yeah. So the more you do it, the more you practice, the more you allow Holy Spirit to teach you, you become more proficient and more skillful. You become more sensitive. Amen? And this can be for everything, your family, right? Holy Spirit will tell Pastor Carol that our daughters are not living right, right? Or situations. They're in situations that are not right. Yeah. And Holy Spirit will do the same for you. That you need to pray for this specific area in your families. Or maybe they're facing a situation that you don't know of. Holy Spirit will use you to bring an answer or a resolve to that situation. Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of people, many, many people, that are hungry for the things of the Spirit. But they don't know how to function in it, or maybe they're ignorant to it, maybe they've never been exposed to it. But you know, if you share it with them, they know what's life and what's not life. They know what's alive and what's dead, right? Pastor Joel, Pastor Joel was sharing a story where he was in a church and he was ministering, and I think I shared this with some of our elders, that the Holy Spirit led him to, he felt people needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And as he began to step out after his message, the associate pastor says, "Nope, you ain't doing it. Stop. You're done." So as a minister who is invited, you're under authority, right? So you submit to that. Say, okay. He also said, well, that associate pastor needed to be baptized himself. But he said people were hungry to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But that associate pastor stopped that flow from people from receiving that life, right? And what did he say? Tell the people, the pastor says, go home and reflect on what Pastor Joel says. Let's all go home and reflect. What is that going to do? What they needed was the living waters of the Holy Ghost, right? So people are hungry and thirsty for the things of God. And there's a yearning for that. And God wants to use each and every one of us to be that vessel that the Holy Spirit can use. Right? You know, each and every one of us, right, we are hosts. We are hosts. You know what a host is? You know, before when we used to play football, you know, we go to Outer Islands. The Outer Islands would host us as a Maui team. And what they would do is they provide a place for us to stay. They provide food. You know, they provide transportation. They're a host to us. And then the following year, we're a host to them. We host them. And just as you are a host to the presence of God that lives and dwells inside of you. Right? And as a host, we need to cooperate. We need to establish a friendship with the Holy Spirit. We need to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit, who's living inside of each one of us. See, the Bible talks about how Enoch walked with God, right? And even Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. And Paul tells us, walk in the Spirit, right? And to live in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit is doing whatever you do during the day, right? Walking in the Spirit is not some out-of-body experience, right? It's not some weird spiritual thing. But walking in the Spirit is living out, walking naturally every single day, but allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your life, to lead and guide your life. Yeah. Yes, you go to work. Yes, we go to the grocery store. Yes, we go to different places. But you're always aware of you being led by the Holy Ghost. If I go someplace, I'll say, Holy Ghost, what's up? Anything going on here? Nope, nothing. Okay. And that's what I mean by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you. Keeping the bigger picture of the kingdom before you. Yeah. That you're not just going shopping. Yes, you are, but yes, you're not. You follow what I'm saying? Yes, I'm going to work, but no, I'm not going to work. Maybe there's an opportunity that Holy Spirit wants to do something, wants to say something to somebody, right? I remember one time I was at Walmart, and as I was checking out my stuff, I was behind, and there was this lady in front of me, and this auntie was the cashier, and they were talking, and auntie said, oh, sister, I get one bad headache. I like go home. And she said, what time you pop off? 2 more hours. Okay, maybe I can handle. So I heard the conversation going on. So as she got through with her transaction, I stepped up, put my stuff up, and I was just putting everything. And I said, hey, auntie, you get on headache? She said, yeah, boy. I said, you mind if I pray for you? She says, yeah, sure. So all I did was just touch her shoulder and say, Lord, heal her. And that's all I did. And she looked at me. She had this look like, I said, your headache gone? She said, yeah. I said, oh, praise the Lord. She came around the counter, gave me a hug. I says, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I just felt the Holy Spirit say to touch her. Don't have to preach to her. Don't have to take, we're from Faith Family Maui. Just administer. See, we're just facilitators, right? You are just a facilitator of the presence of God inside of you. So if the Holy Spirit says, I need you, He needs you. So you just need to be bold enough just to step out and say, okay, I'm going to obey you, right? I'm going to listen. And the more you listen and the more you obey, right, the more of these kind of signs and wonders occur for the glory of God, right? I don't know where this person is now, but I don't care. All she knows is she got healed in the name of Jesus. That's all she knows, and that's great. She might be somewhere in another church. That's fine. But Jesus got the glory for that. Yeah? So, I'm going to stop right here. So, did you learn, receive anything tonight? Yeah? I mean, I was going to talk about having a peace of mind, but we can save that for another one. So how many of you tonight can say, you know what, Pastor Herman, I understand exactly what you were saying tonight. Amen. You know, I'm not, we're all still learning, you know. Yes. We cannot say that we're in a place where we know everything, not at all. In fact, you know, Pastor Nancy, Pastor Jay, Pastor Joel, you always hear them always saying, you know, we're still learning. We're still learning how to flow with the Holy Spirit. We all can learn from each other, and we're learning, right? And we're growing. And it's an ever learning process that we can never learn everything and keep the Holy Spirit in a box to where we got it. The very moment you say that, He does something out of the ordinary. Just to let you know, no, you don't have it. You don't have control over me, right? I love what Smith Wigglesworth says. There's two baptisms, right? One baptism is where you receive the Holy Spirit, and the second baptism is when the Holy Spirit has you. Right? So we can walk with the understanding that we have the Holy Spirit, which we all do, to the new birth, when the indwelling of the Holy Spirit came in. On the moment that you received salvation, Holy Spirit came in you. But then most of us, you know, then we all got baptized, immersed with the baptism. And that signifies that the Holy Spirit has you, right? So the question is, does He really have us? Does He really have you? Yeah. And knowing the nature of the Holy Spirit, right? He's gentle. And He's not somebody who's going to come behind you and go, hey, brah, why don't you never listen? Right? But He's a gentleman. He'll tap you. He'll tap you. He's a gentleman. And even the way we live our lives, the things we say to other people, how we treat one another. Yeah. It grieves Him. Understand that He's inside of you, right? He sees everything. He knows everything that's going on in your life. How you speak, how you respond, how you treat, how you act. Yeah. Because that's why we call Him the Holy Spirit. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He needs to be revered, right? He needs to be honored. He needs to be recognized. He needs to be acknowledged. Yeah, He needs to be acknowledged. And a lot of times believers, they go through the whole day, the whole week, without even acknowledging this God within us. Try going a whole week, husbands and wives, not acknowledging each other. That's horrible, right? Well, see how the Holy Spirit feels when we don't acknowledge Him, yet He's inside of us. So it's always good to, you know, when you get up, just say, good morning, Father God. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Just the acknowledgement recognizes that He's inside of you. That's simple. So there's nothing natural about our lives. Amen.